Thank you, brother. Yes, sir. Joy to be here today. I've been looking forward to coming back to an ambassador of Baptist College. And let's get started. I'm going to Psalm 84, verse 10. Let's hear it for the Christian life. Psalm 84 and verse 10. Let's hear it for the Christian life. You see, in Psalm 84, verse 10, the psalmist said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Listen, folks, I have decided. It's a decision made. I had rather be in God's camp on the worst day than to be in the devil's camp on the best of days. Many of you folks don't project that image at all. You say, it is so hard to be a Christian. It is so hard to live for God and do what's right. I mean, you've got to go to church. You've got to go to Sunday school. You've got to memorize Scripture. You've got to study the Bible. You've got to keep your mind pure before God. You've got to listen to hours of sermon. You've got to endure. You can't watch this. You can't say this. You can't do that. And God's people complain. They complain about the Christian life, and then they go up to somebody and say, would you like to be a Christian? Now listen, folks. I know this is going to be a shock to you, but they don't want what you got. And as a child of God, I don't even want what you got. I'm serious about that. Let's hear it for the Christian life, folks. What are you trying to say this morning? I'm simply saying this. Stop your complaining. And that's biblical. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, folks, that's a decision. And you discipline yourself to do what you've decided. That's stop your complaining. And then you depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to enable you to accomplish that. And so stop your complaining. Let's hear it for the Christian life. I submit to you that the Christian life, when lived honestly and biblically, is 10,000 times better than the best life lived by an unsaved man. There are folks in this room today who have already received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And some of you have lost sight of what a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. You have no joy. And there is not much that would attract others to Jesus Christ in you. That is, you are not a very good representation of Jesus Christ or the Christian life. You need to get a hold of what I'm preaching today and say, by God's grace, everybody around me is going to find out it is better to be a Christian than it is to be an unsaved person. Let's hear it for the Christian life. I want to talk to you about the difference between a saved man and an unsaved man. We'll notice three things. Number one, there is the difference between heaven and hell. Number two, there's the difference between what's hard and what's easy. And then number three, there is the difference between forgiveness and guilt. Let's pray. Father, help me as I convey to your people today something about the Christian life. May the Spirit of God teach us truth. May we take the truth of your word and apply it to our hearts through obedience. And we'll be careful to give you the glory and the praise for what you're going to accomplish in the next few minutes. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please notice, number one, there is the difference between heaven and hell. The Bible is very plain on this. If a person dies without having accepted the work of Christ on the work of Christ done on Calvary's cross on his behalf, that individual is going to go to hell. There are no exceptions. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, I don't know about you, but if those were the only two verses in all the Word of God on judgment and hell, and if I were lost, and flee to Christ. What is the Bible saying? It's simply saying this. If you do not obey the gospel, if you do not take heed to the gospel, and the gospel is repent and believe, if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you're going to go to hell. It's that simple. You might be the nicest guy to be with. You might be the finest of neighbors. You might be the best of citizens. But if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you're going to go to hell forever and ever and ever. The Bible is telling you that you're going to die and go to a place called hell and be punished with everlasting destruction, eternal destruction from the presence of the Lord. And that simply means out of the presence of the Lord. There is no God in hell. There are no friends in hell. There is no fellowship with family members in hell, my friend. You will be in that awful place forever and ever, utterly alone. You're not going to be with God. You're not going to be with family and friends that knew Jesus Christ. I say to you that the Christian life is better because there is a difference between heaven and hell. Hell is an awful place, my friend. Hell is described in the Bible as a place of unquenchable fire. In Mark 9:43, the Bible says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." What is the Bible saying? The Bible is simply saying this. It is a fire whose flames never go out. 100,000 years from the day, the fires of hell shall burn as they burn right now. 100 million years. 100 billion years. Throughout the endless eons of eternity, the fires of hell shall burn as they burn right now. They shall never be quenched. No relief from the flames of hell, no quenching of the flames of hell. Hell shall burn forever and ever. And all those in that awful place shall endure hell forever. The Bible defines hell not only as a place of unquenchable fire, but also a place of no rest. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, the Bible says, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever, and they have no rest day nor night." The Bible defines hell not only as a place of unquenchable fire, not only a place of no rest, but also a place that burneth with fire and brimstone. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, the Bible says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You say, "Preacher, I'm not so bad." What do you mean you're not so bad? You are a sinner just like I am. The Bible is very plain on that. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, folks, I'm a sinner by birth. I'm a sinner by choice. I have by my nature and by my deeds offended a holy God. And so have you. God looks at the human race and judges us to be guilty. For all of us have offended God in one way or another. It makes no difference the magnitude, the capacity, or the length of your sin. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It makes no difference if I haven't done something you've done or you haven't done something I've done. It's not whether I've offended you or whether you've offended me. My friend, you've offended God. You are mad because you've offended the Lord. You have violated His will. You are a sinner abiding under the curse of damnation. But Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on Calvary's cross for you and suffered your damnation. He received your pain. He received your torment. And all you have to do is accept what Jesus Christ did for you, and you can go free. In John chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Got that? He that believeth on Christ is not condemned. But he that believeth not on Christ is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'm simply saying this. If you have not personally received Jesus Christ, you're not facing judgment someday. You're already under the judgment of God. Right now, there is hovering over your head the sword of God's judgment, and it is held simply by the thin thread of God's mercy. And at any moment, God could cut that thin thread and damn you to eternal hell. I say to you, the Christian life is better because there's the difference between heaven and hell. But notice number two, there's the difference between what's hard and what's easy. You say, preacher, listen, it is so hard to live for God, but it is easy to live in sin. No, sir. No, sir. It is just the other way around. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, everybody has hardships. That's right. Everybody has hardships. If you came forward today and received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would not look in the face and say, "You're home free now. Sickness is never going to bother your household. You'll never face financial problems again." To say that, if you folks get saved today, you'll be healthy and wealthy all the rest of your life, is a bunch of junk. And it's not in the Bible. Let me ask you something. How many in here are saved, but you have experienced tragedies? The sudden death of a loved one, the incurable illness of a loved one. How many folks are saved, but you've experienced tragedies in your life? Raise your hands. Wow, you got to be kidding. No, look around the room, right? Hey, the room is full of folks who have experienced tragedies. In other words, being saved does not exempt you of tragedy, does it? No. How many of you would say, preacher, I'm saved, but I surely know what it is to be tempted to do wrong? Raise your hands. You mean to tell me that being saved doesn't exempt you from temptation? Wow. Well, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that nor man ye may be able to bear it." Listen, being saved will not exempt you from tragedy, hardship, sorrow, difficulty, and tough decisions. I'm not telling you to get saved and you're home free, that it's a bed of roses until you die and you go to heaven. That's not true. But I've got news for you. Do unsaved people have tragedies? Do unsaved people have hardships? Do unsaved people have sorrows? Do unsaved people have marital problems? Do unsaved people have kids break their hearts? Do unsaved people have death? In fact, I don't know of a single tragedy that occurs in unsaved families that doesn't occur in saved families. However, there's a big difference. In the Christian life, you have the Lord, and an unsaved man doesn't. Don't you forget that. I know what it is to have pain. I know what it is to have sorrow. I know what it is to have temptation. I know what it is to suffer defeat. I know what it is personally, and I have observed in the lives of others what it is to have all kinds of problems. But the difference between being saved and being lost is that when you're saved, you have God you can turn to. An unsaved man has no God to turn to. Not only are you without God in the next world, my friend, but if you do not know Jesus Christ, did you know you are without God in this world? So let me ask you something. How in the world can you face a day without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? How can you face a doctor's report of possible cancer and termination of life without Jesus Christ? How can you possibly bury a loved one beneath the sod without the knowledge of Jesus Christ? How can you possibly endure the temptation to be dishonest or to be immoral in the wicked society in which we live? Now, folks, how can you face that and have no God to turn to? I mean, on the worst day for a Christian, did you know he can turn to the Lord? That's right. The child of God can turn to the Lord. He has the Bible to direct him. He has the Holy Spirit of God within to guide him. Did you know he has the promises of God to rely upon? Some of you didn't know that, did you? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has the grace of God to support him. I say to you, I had rather be a Christian than an unsaved man. Hardship. Tough to be a Christian? Sure, it's hard. You're not going to be exempt from hard work and difficult times in the Christian life of being a Christian. I'm simply saying this. You have God to turn to. That is, you folks can get direction from the Lord. You have the supply of omnipotence. You have the wisdom of omniscience. You have the guidance of omnipresence. I say to you, our worst day is better than an unsaved man's best day. My dear friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the only way you can face each day is the kind of hope it will turn out okay. You don't have any promise. Some of God's people forget what it is to get up every day with promises. The child of God can walk through the day with promises. The child of God can go to bed at night with promises. An unsaved man gets up with not one single promise. God does not promise to bless his wisdom. He does not promise to guide him. He does not promise to help him. He does not promise to meet his needs. He does not promise to sustain him. When he tries to rear his kids, he has no promise. When he tries to have a decent marriage, he has no promise. I mean, he is stripped of all things before God. He has nothing. The child of God has everything. Don't you realize that? He has the promises of God. He has the privilege of walking every day with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The one who created the sun, the moon, and the stars, all with a spoken word. He has the promise that God will supply his need. He has the promise that God will bless his marriage. He has the promise that God will bless the rearing of his children. I submit to you that the Christian's worst day, if he is right with God, is better than the best day that an unsaved man has. Now, folks, I'm not going to hang my head. I am certainly not going to apologize to my unsaved friend when I beg him to come to Christ. I'm asking him to unshackle hopelessness and take on hope. I'm asking him to swap out hell for heaven. Now, folks, how's that bad news? Right? Let's hear it for the Christian life. So we've noticed, number one, that there's a difference between heaven and hell. Number two, there's a difference between what's hard and what's easy. But notice, number three, there's a difference between forgiveness and guilt. My unsaved friend, listen. You are, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you are this day shackled with the guilt of your sin. You say, now wait just a minute, preacher. You said you are a sinner too. Yes, I'm a sinner just like you, but the difference is my guilt is gone. You say, preacher, that's just religious talk. No, sir, it is the real thing. You see, Jesus Christ died for me on Calvary's cross. just like he died for you. You see, in Romans 5:8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us. You see, he showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, I'm a sinner just like you, but the difference is because I have accepted what Jesus Christ did for me, I have no guilt. You say, preacher, he's just overlooking your sins. No, sir. Listen, he has dealt with my sins. Did you know I've been judged? I've been judged. I've been punished. You say, preacher, it don't look like you've been punished. Well, I have been punished in a substitute. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Jesus Christ took all of the sins of this preacher on himself. And then God the Father fastened his eyes upon Jesus Christ and poured upon the Son of God all of his wrath and anger and justifiable hatred for my sins. He poured it out on his Son. I've been judged. It's not that I'm getting off without anything being paid for. It's been paid for, folks. Listen, Jesus Christ has paid it all. In the eyes of God, I have been declared innocent. In fact, I am as righteous in the eyes of God as Jesus Christ himself. Because when Jesus Christ took my sins upon him, I received him. He transferred to me his very righteousness. You say, preacher, what did you have to do to get it? Did you have to promise to tithe from now on out? No, sir. Did you have to promise to join the church? No, sir. Did you have to promise to find all the fun things and stop doing them? No, sir. All I had to do is accept what Jesus Christ did. That's it. Jesus did it all. Listen to his word. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Titus 3, 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, it says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In Romans 4, 5, the Bible says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. In John 6, 47, Jesus said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My unsaved friend, let me ask you something. Why in the world would you turn down the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would you rather have hell than heaven? Why would you rather have the hard life than the easy life? Why would you rather have guilt than forgiveness? Listen, you're going to die just like me. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die. You're going to die just like me. You've got to live today just like me. Not a whole lot of difference between you and me except what Jesus Christ has done. And that thing has made all the difference in the world. Let's hear for the Christian life. I submit to you, a child of God who is walking with God, who lives for God, who honors God with his life, and who is serving the Lord, is 10,000 times better off on his lowest day than an unsaved man is on his best day. So, brethren, let's hear for the Christian life. Everybody around you ought to know it is better to be a Christian than it is to be an unsaved person. Many of you folks don't project that image at all. You say it's so hard to be a Christian. So hard to live for God and do right. Got to go to church. Got to go to Sunday school. Got to read your Bible. Got to pray. Got to tithe. Oh, bless you. Got to tithe, right? Complain about that too. Complain. We ain't nothing but complainers. God's people are nothing but complainers. I was on a plane with 299 complainers. You see, I do most flying now. That's what I do. I fly now. And I was sharing with my dear brother up here. Have you ever been on an airplane with 299 complainers? You see, we're in Duluth, Minnesota. We got plenty of time. We're in Duluth, Minnesota. Now tell me how you're going to act. You see, we have now ceased to be the salt and light that God's intended his children to be. And the ills of society are sweeping in and taking over. I was salt that day, buddy. Here I am in Duluth, get there at 8 o'clock, plane won't start. 45 minutes later, captain gets on and said, we can't get the plane to start. And so, just sit tight. 45 minutes later, boy, complaining going on. Can't make it to Vegas now. You see, can't go here, can't do that. And we're on an Airbus, you see. And boy, and I'm just sitting there, I'm saying, boy, how we must grieve you, Lord, when we complain. I mean, nothing but complaining. You don't expect everybody on that plane to be saved. No, I expect the unsaved folks to act like that. God's people ought to be different. But I'm on an airplane with 299 complainers. And I'm thinking, here's an hour and a half goes by, and now he asks us to get off the plane. He says, go get your luggage and get on the bus. We'll take a bus down to Minneapolis. I said, okay, that sounds good to me. I'm grateful, you know, that's to get to Minneapolis. You see, I have the right spirit. So we get off the plane, we go down to the luggage. You think I'm making this up. This is a true story. I get down there, waiting for the luggage to come out. And then the guy on the speaker said, hey, don't get your luggage before you get your ticket. You can't get on the bus without a ticket. So instead of waiting for your luggage, just go back up on the second floor and get you a ticket at the ticket counter. Now, how many representatives do you think they had there at the ticket counter? You know how they have. They got about 12 booths that there's only one person. Isn't that great? I love it. Just one person. I thought, man, we're going through it. This is going to be good. One person trying to get 300 tickets, and we're trying to get on the bus. Man, they're complaining. I'm thinking, oh, boy, this is bad news. So now, we're standing there to get our ticket. Next thing I know, the speaker comes on and says, don't get your ticket. Get back on the plane. I thought, okay. See, it'd be faster now to get on the plane than it would to get on the bus. Because that's 2.5-3 hour, you know, bus ride, or just 15-20 minute flight. You know, it just made sense. Get back on the, it'd be on a plane. So we get back. Well, they're not going to let you in, you know, back on the plane because you done went out of security. So, now you have to go back through security. You think I'm talking to you? I'm telling you the truth. Now we get back to security, and there is no security. Security has done went to Duluth. You see, we were supposed to be gone. Yeah, so now we're waiting for security come from Duluth to come to the airport. Well, now we're about 3.5-4 hours late. He said, what'd you do? I had a smile on my face. Glory! I said, I had enough. Stop your complaining. I got their attention. I said, why don't you folks be grateful it didn't stop sparking at 40,000 feet? Oh, man. Right? I mean, is that right? Now they're, they probably remember me. because now they're no longer mad at Northwest. They're mad at me. Yeah, it's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Mad at me. And I said, hey, I had to think quickly. I said, hey, listen. Now, how are you folks going to act? Now, we're going to go through security, or we're going to get on the plane, we sit down, and the other engine won't start. I said, how are you folks going to act? And when you have to get off the plane, go get your ticket, and get back on the bus. You say, are you for real? I'm as serious as a heart attack. Let's stop our complaining. Let's hear it for the Christian life. Don't you see, everybody around you ought to know it's better to be a Christian than an unsaved man? So let's act like it. It starts with a decision. Some of you folks need to come. You're not a very good representation of Jesus Christ in Christian life this morning. And you need to come down and say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. And by God's grace, I confess my sin of complaining. Call sin by its right name. I confess my sin of complaining. Don't say, Lord, my wrongdoings. Lord, I confess my sin of complaining. I get right with you. And by God's grace, I want everybody around me to know that I'm a Christian. You see, that's your decision. You've got to make that this morning. I can't make it for you. But it's not going to happen by accident. You're not going to wake up one morning and stop complaining. It's like, oh, I've done. It starts with a decision. You discipline yourself to do that. And then you depend upon the Holy Spirit that He gave you at the new birth to accomplish it. Perhaps you're here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. I'd love to take the Bible. I'm in no hurry. I'd like to take the Bible this morning and show you from the Word of God how you can have your sins forgiven, have eternal life, and have a home in heaven when you die. There's no reason why you should leave today without knowing that your sins have been forgiven, that God holds no crime against you, that God holds no charge against you, that you're forgiven. You can know that, and I hope you'll do that. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have a song of invitation. You know what the invitation is all about. If God spoke in your heart as a Christian, you come and kneel down and get right. And if you need a salvation, I'm going to step down front. You come down, let me know of your need, and we'll go set aside, and I'll take the Bible and show you how you can have your sins forgiven. Why don't you do that?